Northgate Church exists to bring people to Jesus Christ and build them up in that relationship. As we prepare to commission a short-term team to serve in Hungary in July, we'll reflect on our mission during the month of June. We hope you'll join us for this series, Greater Things, Accomplishing the Mission. And now, here's today's message.
My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Northgate. For the last 4.5 years, I've been the South Campus pastor, and we had a great time of celebration last Sunday as that chapter came to a close. And it was bittersweet, but I'm excited to be up here. I'm excited for what God has in store for us as we go forward. And I also want to take the opportunity, Mitch, to thank you for your impact on the conference and on Northgate and on me as a pastor. We're truly honored that this is your home church and glad that it will continue to be that. You've represented us well and made us proud to be Northgaters. This is the last week of Greater Things. Next week, we're going to start a new series, and I'm excited about this one. It's a great summer series. It's called Dear Church, and essentially the aspect what we're going to be doing is if each of us as pastors, if we could only preach one sermon for the rest of our lives, what would it be? Now, good news, we're not just going to keep preaching that one every week. You know, we're going to each do one, but we're going to do that. And I think it'll be a really cool time for you to kind of get an insight into the hearts of some of us of what, you know, we're really passionate about, of what God has placed in our hearts. And that's going to start next week. But today we are wrapping up Greater Things. We've been going through this, and I preached in the first week of this here, and I told you that I deeply believe that our greatest days of a church are still in front of us. This is a church with a fantastic history. A lot of great things have happened. A lot of lives have been changed. But I believe that our best days are still in front of us. I mean, that is why we get up and we continue to do this. That's why we'll be here tomorrow morning and we're going to say, all right, what can we do next week and how can we do it better to continue to reach people with this message? And so we started by talking about our mission. Talked about the importance of having a mission and what our mission is. And then we went on, Pastor Vern took week two talking about bring, and then week three was build, and now I have week four, which is send. Now, I hope at this point that you know the Northgate mission statement so much that you're going to be annoyed when I say it again in a minute. But just in case, if this is your first week or you don't remember, Northgate's mission is to bring people to Jesus Christ and to build them up in that relationship. And it's always been this two-part idea of bring and build, and we highly value both parts of it. They're absolutely crucial. Go back and watch the last couple messages on the app if you need to fill that in. But we also said in order to really be built up in Christ, we have to be sent out. If we're going to really be built up in Christ, we get to a point where we realize it's not just all about me being built up. It's also about how God is going to send me out. And that is what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to kind of unpack in our time together. So let me ask you a question. And right up front, some of you guys aren't going to like this. Where do you get your identity? And here's why you're not going to like. I'm going to ask you to tell somebody around you, next to you, somebody, if you came with them, if you're by yourself, whatever it is, find someone and say you have 5 to 7 seconds to introduce yourself to someone you've never met before. What would you say? How would you summarize your identity? Go ahead. All right, how'd we do? That was good. Look, see, this is good because now I know you guys are all awake. Like, I've heard you, and you've interacted, and I know you're here. So a friend of mine, just a little bit ago, a friend of mine from college, he became a doctor, and he wrote a book. And in the process of him writing that book, I got to read some manuscripts and offer some advice and insight and things like that. And he ended up using one of the things I had written as the blurb on the back of the book. So it was pretty cool. I have not written a book, but now my name is on one. So, like, that's a start, right? That'll probably have to do for a while. But after what I said, after the blurb, it said, John Keller, pastor at Northgate FMC, husband, father of three, Red Sox lover. And I thought, that's pretty good, right? If I only got like 5 to 7 seconds to introduce myself, that was really good. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, he gives us a big piece of our identity. He's talking about the rest of the world, and he's saying, this is what the rest of the world looks like. But in 3:20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, as you're establishing your identity, know that your citizenship is in heaven. In 2 Peter, Peter goes as far as to call us foreigners and exiles, which is interesting because a lot of times I feel like you probably increasingly feel like you don't fit in the world. You watch the news, you see how things go, you feel like the world changes every day, and you have this sense of like, I don't fit in here. Like, I'm not sure. Like, this is kind of, things are getting weird, and I'm not positive that I fit in here anymore. And that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. If you are a citizen of another country, if you are a foreigner and an exile here on earth, then you don't want to feel too comfortable. You don't want to feel like, yeah, this is my place. This is where I'm going to stay. Whenever I have the opportunity to travel to a different country, which I've been really blessed to be able to do a good amount of that in the last couple of years, I love to go. But there's always this feeling the whole time of like you're kind of vulnerable there. You know, you're like out of your comfort zone. You're outside. You feel like you're an outsider in that. And last year, I went to Oaxaca, Mexico, which is a pretty remote part of Mexico. It's down by Guatemala. You have to fly in a couple hours south of Houston. And I'd had a great time. I was there for 8 days. I was pretty disconnected. Prior to that, I'd never been away from my girls for more than 3 days. So I was pretty homesick. Like on day four, I would have just gone back to see the girls if I could have chosen. But I had 4 more days of things to do. So on the last day, I got up, I had a really early flight, and someone from the mission drove me to about 45 minutes to the airport, and it was just torrential downpours. I mean, like, crazy downpours. There's no way plane's taking off. I get out of the car, I get my stuff, and I go and check in. And then I'm sitting there, and I realize I don't have any Mexican money. I had left that at the mission with the people there. And I have this really great iPhone that when you're in Mexico and there's no Wi-Fi, all it is a fancy clock, you know? So I can, like, tell the time with beautiful retina display, but that's it. And I was like, you know what? If this plane doesn't take off, I'm in a lot of trouble. Like, I don't have anything to eat. I can't contact anyone in the mission and say, like, hey, my flight got canceled. Come back and get me. And I felt this, like, so vulnerable as an outsider of saying, this is not my home. This is not where I'm from. And finally got on the plane. It was a little bit delayed because of the weather. And we flew to Houston, and you get there, and you know if you've flown internationally, you go through like 100 different things. You know, they're checking all these things. You go through customs, and you go through all these different things. And I finally got to this guy, and he opened my passport, and he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he said, "Welcome home, Mr. Keller." And I didn't hug him, and I didn't cry. But I wanted to do both because it was this moment of like, yes, this is my home. You know, now I'm back. Now I'm where I am a citizen. Now I am back to this place where I feel more comfortable. And so if you are a Christian and you have that feeling in the world, just know that that's okay because our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of a different place. In 2 Corinthians 5, which was where the bulk of our time will be spent in the scripture today, Paul says we're changed and we're new and we're different and we're reconciled. Look what he says about people that are in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. So he has this beautiful picture where he says the old is gone and the new is here. He tells us that God has reconciled us to himself. Now, reconciled, it's kind of an old term. It means to make one account consistent with the other. Back before people used to just log in online and check their bank account like 5 times a day, they would reconcile their checking account. So you would have you'd have what you have, and then you'd have what the bank has, and you'd bring them in line together. And that's what reconciliation is. God has made things right. He brought our account, our sinful, broken account, into line with his holy and righteous account. And then he gave that ministry to us. He says, if you've received this, then you're in. You're a part of the team. God is in the business of forgiving sins. And if yours have been forgiven, then he says, get out there and tell someone. And I love how it says that he has committed us to that message. He doesn't ask like, okay, who's in? Who wants to do this? Like, everyone raise your hand if you feel like you're called to this. Everyone raise your hand if you feel that you're outgoing enough to be committed to this. No, he says he has committed us, all of us, to that message of reconciliation. And that may sound kind of pushy to you, but if you go to Acts 1, 8, and 9, you'll see that it actually feels kind of even more direct. I mean, he's pretty serious about this. He says to them in Acts 1, 8, and 9, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I love that he says this. He lays out this plan, and then he's not like, okay, questions. Questions from the group. Who has questions here? Any comments? Are you concerned? Do you think this is going to work? No. He lays out this plan, and then he sees a cloud, and he's like, I'm going up there. Like, you guys are gone. You're on your own. Like, he probably wasn't using a microphone, but if he was, that would have been like the first mic drop where he's like, this is where I'm going. Like, gone, right? Like, just, I'm out. You guys have this. He doesn't take a survey and say, are you guys comfortable with this plan? He said, this is what I need you to do. And then he says, I'm out of here. And we look, when we read forward a couple verses, it says two men in white come up and ask them, why are you staring at the sky? Because you can picture these people. Jesus lays this on them, and then he just heads to heaven, and they're like, whoa, man, that's a lot, right? That's going to be a lot of work. We got the whole world to reach. That's what he said, right? I heard him, right? He told us to reach the whole world. And they're standing there looking up, and these two men in white come up, and they're like, what are you guys looking at? Because you got a lot of work to do. So you should get going. Like, get out there and get started. And that's what it says, that he committed us to that message of reconciliation. Here's how that looks. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. And here's what it looks like. He's committed us to that message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's how it looks. That's how that message of reconciliation has been committed to us, because we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, an ambassador, that's a pretty cool sounding job. You know, if we're at a party and I'm like, hey, what do you do? You're like, oh, I'm an ambassador. I'm like, this guy's so much cooler than me, right? Like, that's the first thing I'd be thinking. It's like, wow, an ambassador, that's pretty awesome. Now, ambassadors, that's a high-ranking dignitary that is sent out to represent their country in a foreign land. That's what an ambassador is. They aren't voted into office. They are chosen by someone. They're chosen by a king or by a prime minister or by a president, depending on what the country is. In the United States, an ambassador is nominated by the president and then confirmed by the Senate. And they are commissioned to be sent out to represent their country and to be a mouthpiece in a foreign land. So there are some famous ambassadors I thought I would tell you about. Shirley Temple, she went on, her married name was Shirley Temple Black. She was a U.S. ambassador to Ghana and then later to Czechoslovakia. Sidney Poitier, a lot of you remember him. He's still alive. I said that like he was dead. He's not. Don't Google it. He is the ambassador of the Bahamas to Japan. Benjamin Franklin, he was a really famous ambassador. He was a big-time ambassador because he was the U.S. ambassador to France during the Revolutionary War. So he was the one that went over and was like, hey, you guys hate England. You know you hate England. Come on, come fight with us. This will really be a big blow to England if they knock him off. And so, of course, he did get the French to commit to be a part of the Revolutionary War. And because of that, we don't have to care about Brexit. And we don't have to care about royal weddings and all that stuff. So I'm very grateful to Benjamin Franklin. There were some future presidents, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, George H.W. Bush. They were all ambassadors that later became presidents. So think about this. I won't make you share it with somebody, but just think of another country that you love or that you're intrigued by, that if the president came to you and said, I'm going to appoint you as the ambassador to any country that you want, what would you choose? I went around a couple weeks ago at work, and I asked some of the people there, and Pastor Vern chose Ireland, which I thought was a great choice. That was one of my top two, so he's the boss. I let him have Ireland. I picked my second choice. Pastor Greg picks Switzerland, which is a nice choice. Mark picked Italy. He mostly picked Italy because of the food. He tells us at least once a week in the office how great the food is in Italy. And once you've had Parmesan in Italy, you will not be able to eat it anywhere else. It's a tough problem to have, Mark. I'm heartbroken for you. And then Anthony, he chose Greece. And Pastor Gloria took too long to decide and got left out of the illustration. I love that it was your laugh first, Gloria, that I heard. I chose Scotland because Pastor Vern had taken Ireland and Scotland was my other top choice. I love Maine, and Scotland is kind of a similarly, you know, like it looks coast and mountains and the rolling green. I love Braveheart. I would like to go there for long enough to kind of have some of the accent rub off. I think that would be, wouldn't you rather hear me preach with a Scottish accent? Yes. Who? That's an easy question. But when I was looking, I also found out that the U.S. ambassador position to the Bahamas is currently open. So I know, Mitch, you are, you know, if you're looking for something new to fill that time, it would be great. I don't know. I would be into that. I think my skin would last like 1 minute. I'd be like, all right, I got to go back. I can be the ambassador to Iceland or something like that. But if you're appointed as an ambassador, you have several roles. You have some very important roles. And so let's say that I was just appointed as the ambassador to Scotland. My jobs, my roles are to represent the president. Like, that's the essence of the role. That's why I'm being sent there. That's why you're being sent to your country, is to represent the president. You don't get to go and create foreign policy, but you do have to adhere to it. You would go and exemplify American values. You know that it's not all about you. It's not about my opinions. It's not about how I feel about things. It's not just what I feel like that day. I'm representing all of you as an American. And so you represent and exemplify everybody from your country. I always think that when I travel, you know, I feel like I have an opportunity to give people a positive interaction with an American. I'm like, well, I probably won't, you know, totally cure this whole picture, but I'll at least be a nice American that they encounter. And they'll be like, I don't know, that one guy, he seemed all right. Third, you maintain good relationships. Being an ambassador is primarily a relational position. You can't be appointed to the Bahamas and then spend the next 3 years just on the beach with like a straw hat and sunglasses and be like, this is great. You would be a terrible ambassador. You need to build relationships. You need to meet people. You can't be a recluse ambassador. It doesn't work like that. And then the fourth thing with your roles is you would lead necessary reconciliation. So if there was some big tension between Switzerland and the United States, then the president would call Pastor Greg and say, Greg, I need you to go and get involved in Switzerland. You know, things are a little tense. I need you to meet with these people, smooth things over. And I think he'd do wonderfully at that. But you would lead that necessary reconciliation if there was any problems or tensions between the countries. And I think it'd be pretty cool to be an ambassador. But guess what? According to Paul, every one of us that is a Christ follower has already been appointed as an ambassador. He said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So I want you to see that every Christian is sent into the world as Christ's ambassadors. Every Christian is sent into the world as Christ's ambassadors. Now, you may be here today, and you might not be a Christian yet. You might be somebody that's, you know, kind of figuring this out. You're exploring it. Somebody invited you. You heard it was an interesting church, so you came. Wherever you are in that, I welcome you. This is a great place to do that. I'm so glad you're here. We're all on a journey, and people are in different spots, and I'm just glad that your journey has brought you here today. But for everyone that's sitting here who says, yes, I am a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, you are sent into the world as Christ's ambassadors. Paul tells us a high-ranking dignitary has sent you out to represent their kingdom in a foreign land. You've been appointed by a king, and you've been confirmed, and you are sent out into that role. So what are our roles as Christ's ambassadors? They actually look a lot like the role that I just said for other ambassadors. Here are our roles. I want to give you four things. First, represent Jesus. As Christ's ambassadors, we have to represent Jesus. That is the essence of our role. That is why we've been sent. I mean, if all of life was about somebody getting to the moment where they become a Christian, where they say, God, I give my life to you. Please forgive me of your sins, you know, or my sins. Fill me with your spirit. Then in that moment, when you got that, God would just say, okay, he's got it. Pull him out, right? Take him out of the game. Pull him out. Bring him up here. Because you would have had it. You would have reached the meaning. But we are left here as Christ's ambassadors so that God can make that appeal through us. It's the essence of this role. And so we speak on Christ's behalf. We ask ourselves questions like, how would God engage this situation? How would Christ engage this situation, this problem that I'm having with somebody that I work with or with my neighbor a couple houses down? And we ask ourselves, if it is the goal of my life to please Jesus and to bring him glory, then what should I say or do next? And in those ways, we represent Jesus, which is our first and primary role as an ambassador. Second, we exemplify Christian values. It's not all about you. It's not about necessarily what you think or who you like or don't like or what you believe or don't believe. You represent all of us out here, and we represent Christian values. When you walk out of these doors, you don't just represent yourself. You represent Christ. You represent Northgate. We represent each other. And the world is watching so closely to see if what we live out lines up with what we believe. They're watching very closely, and unfortunately, it only takes one. It only takes one bad experience for someone to say, all Christians are like this. Everybody that I know that goes to church acts this way. It only takes one. And so as ambassadors, we exemplify Christian values. Third, we maintain good relationships. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We maintain those good relationships. We build and maintain great relationships with people. And so if you go to Starbucks, I want you to be like the friendliest person that they see at Starbucks that day. Because sometime if you go in there and you're the biggest pain they see, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, because a lot of us go to Starbucks and try and invite people to church, they're going to come here and they're going to see you and be like, oh, she comes here, and it's not going to be good. So when you go to Starbucks, you be the friendliest person that they see all day. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a lot of work to do to beat Anthony in that category. He is an ambassador of Christ to Starbucks, and he takes it very seriously. But you do that wherever you go. If you go to a restaurant, please don't be the people that go to a restaurant and either like talk about Northgate or you're praying for your meal and then everybody sees you pray and then you leave like a $1 or $2 tip on a $30 bill. I would rather, listen, this is crazy. I'd rather have you not pray for your dinner, okay? Because I just don't want them to see you praying if you're only going to leave like a $1 tip. But be an ambassador of Christ and say, hey, Christians are generous and caring people. And so like when they come out, like, yeah, these people prayed and maybe they invited me to Northgate and then they left a killer tip because they know I'm not doing this for fun. I'm doing it to provide for my education or my family or whatever it is. Wherever we go, we have to be Christ's ambassadors so that people are drawn to him through us as God makes his appeal through us. And then fourth, you would lead necessary reconciliation. As Christ's ambassadors, we lead necessary reconciliation. When it's needed, we need to be on the front lines of reconciliation. Because if there's a tension between the place you're an ambassador and the place you're a citizen, you have to get involved. That's what the role is. You know, so if you're at work and you hear somebody saying, oh man, churches are terrible. You know what happened at my church? And they start telling this church horror story or they're telling this terrible story about what happened to their aunt or their friend, then you know, at the right time you say, I'm really sorry that happened. Like, I'm really sorry. Can I just tell you, I go to a church, it's a different place. It's called Northgate. You should come check it out sometime. Like, you might need a couple weeks, you know, because I know you're hurting right now, but maybe come check it out in a couple weeks with me. You know, I'll buy you breakfast afterwards. Or if somebody's going through and saying, let me tell you what this Christian said to me. This Christian told me that they hate this and that. You can say, can I just tell you, I'm a Christian, and on behalf of Christians, I apologize that they treated you like that, and I want you to know that that's not how I feel, and you know, I want you to know that's not how everybody feels. We have those opportunities to lead necessary reconciliation. When I was in Mexico last month in April, I was having dinner with a bunch of guys from the Bible Institute there. We're having a good time. We're having a taco night, which I know it's like what you do. And I got to Mexico. I think I ate 25 tacos in the first 24 hours. It was awesome. Like, highly recommended. And we were there. We're having this dinner together. And this guy asked me, he goes, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He goes, why do all Americans hate us? And it just like hit me like a punch in the stomach. And I was like, oh, man. No, we don't hate you. Like I said, all Americans don't hate you. I said, we need you to know that. I said, understand how you might get that impression, but I want you to know very clearly that I don't hate you. I know a ton of people that don't hate you. I said, can I tell you about some of the things that my church is doing? I said, we have a pretty substantial migrant community in our area. And I said, we're offering ESL classes to try and help them, you know, have the language that will make it easier to live here. And we're partnering with people to offer legal options so that they can have legal residency here and they can do that through the proper channels. You know, I told them about how we packed a bunch of baskets for Thanksgiving, for Easter, and we put everything together so that we could take that and just tell people we care about you. You know, there's a church here that believes you matter to God and you matter to us, and so this is a gift from us. And you know, I just wanted to tell them about some of the things our church was doing. I said, I got to tell you, not everybody hates you guys, and I'm really sorry that you've been led to believe that. And so I had a moment where I could be an ambassador from my country to where I was. And that's one of our key roles as Christ's ambassadors. So where are you called to be an ambassador? Some of you know very clearly. Some of you, you're like, oh, yep, I've got that. You didn't even need to think about that. My wife, Amy, she's an ambassador of Christ at Golisano Children's Hospital. I had somebody just tell me a little bit ago that ran into someone that she works with of what an impact that she has in that place. And it made me proud as her husband to hear about her being an ambassador of Christ, of Jesus being represented, of Christian values being exemplified, of good relationships being built, and of necessary reconciliation being offered. But where are you an ambassador? Maybe you're called to be an ambassador to the town of Perry, or maybe you are called to be an ambassador to Batavia High School. Maybe you're an ambassador to Liberty Pumps, or you're an ambassador to GCC. Maybe for some of you, you're the only Christian in your family, and you are an ambassador of Christ to your family. You know, when you get together with them, you got to be ready. You have to represent Christ well in that interaction. But why do we need to be ambassadors? We only need to go one verse forward from where we stopped. We left off in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 right at the end. Look at the first verse in chapter 6. He says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. So God has given us this job. We're working at it together. And we urge you, I beg you, I plead with you not to receive God's grace in vain, not to take what you've been freely given and hold on to it for yourself and not offer it to other people, not to live as an ambassador. So please don't take what you've been freely given and just hold on to it. You are appointed. You are commissioned. You are sent. In just a few minutes, we are going to commission our hungry team. We're going to commission them as ambassadors of Northgate, as ambassadors of Christ to Jor, Hungary. And there'll be this formality of it, and you'll look and say, wow, that's so cool. But I want you to know just as clearly that you are a high-ranking dignity that's been sent out to represent Jesus Christ where you have been placed. So here's our takeaway today. It's very easy. It's simple. It's hard to do. Figure out where you are called to be an ambassador, and then tell someone. I want you to figure that out. Like I said, some of you already know that. Some people, you may need to pray about that. But don't just do that. Tell somebody. Say, this is where I'm called to be an ambassador. Because if you just do that and you say, like, oh, yeah, I'm called here. Cool. Are we going to Tully's or Applebee's? No, you missed the point. Like, you've got to do it, and you have to tell someone, because then you can say, hey, I'm called to be an ambassador to my office. It's kind of a tough environment. Can you pray for me? Can you encourage me? Can you maybe check in every now and then and ask how that's going? Or I'm called to be an ambassador to my school. Would you mind just, you know, kind of checking in with me every now and then to see how that's going? And I would love for you to not only figure it out, but to tell someone. Now, I want to invite our team, our Hungary Missions team, forward. We're going to have an opportunity to pray for them, and we're going to send them out as our ambassadors. We're going to send them out from Northgate as representatives of ours and as representatives of Christ to be a part of what God is doing there. And so they're going to come forward. I want you to get a look at these seven smiling faces, because over the next few weeks, July 1st through the 10th, when they're gone, I know you're going to be praying for them. Your support of this team has been awesome. Pastor Vern, a couple weeks ago, had a just shopping list of things that he needed. Remember that? You guys blew us away with how you brought these things in and just filled this room with almost everything. I think we need like 5 more Altoid containers. Like, other than that, everything that was on that list has been there. So you guys have supported them already. So we're going to pray for them. I want to invite you forward. If you would like to come, you can put your hands on them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to commission them and send them out. So I invite you to come forward now. And once people get forward here, we will pray together. Father God, I thank you that you have called this team. Lord, that you've called them, you've assembled them, you put them together for this purpose. But God, even more than thanking you for you calling them, God, I thank you that they have accepted that call. Lord, that they have stepped up and they desire to be sent out to be used for your glory. So God, We pray for them, Lord. We ask that your presence would be so rich among them, in them, and between them as a team, that, Lord, as they travel, their travel would be safe and it would be smooth and things would go well. But God, even that as they interact together and with other people over their travels, that they would experience the presence of Christ because they've been with this team. God, I ask that their health would be strong over these next few weeks, Lord, that no sickness or disease would get in the way of the things that they are planning to do, of the things that they want to accomplish with you, through you, Lord. And God, I ask that you would calm any anxieties, any fears that they have, Lord, as they think about details, as they think about the travel, whatever it is, Lord, that the devil is trying to put into their hearts that they need to worry about, that their focus would move from that to you, Lord, that it would move from fear to just anticipation, Lord, to the joy of what they're going to experience together as a team, Lord, to the joy that they're going to get to share with the people in Hungary, for the way that they're going to be able to bless Jerry McNamara, our missionary there, that God, you would be present with them through every single step of this. And God, we ask that you would prepare the hearts of the people there that they will impact. Lord, we can get on planes and we can travel and we can run programs and we can do things, but only you can impact hearts and only you can change lives. So God, we humbly ask that you would use these servants for that and that you would begin to prepare people even now for what you want to do in their lives through these people. Lord, we thank you that you have called all of us to be Christ's ambassadors. And God, we thank you that you have called this team to be your ambassadors and Northgate's ambassadors in your hunger, and we send them off in your love and grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If all of you would just stay up here, everybody else, you can stand, and I'll dismiss you from right here. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." He says, "And surely I'm with you always, even until the very end of the age." As you go out as Christ's ambassadors, know that he is with you, that he sustains you, and his strength will be with you the entire way to the very end of the age. Go in peace. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. For other great resources, explore our website at northgatefmc.com and come back next week for another great message. Have a wonderful week.